No problem. Okay, with the arrival of Arlene Fiano, we have a full board. I'm Tom Manning, the chairman. It's Tom Robbins, Rodney Fournier. And then on Zoom, we have Jeff Scala, Jeremy Flick, and Jim Cropley. Tom Crockett is the alternate, and Kawan Gordon is an alternate, and Steve Clark is an alternate. Okay, the first order of business is the approval of minutes of January 11th, 2024. Any comments or corrections from any of those?
Motion to accept.
Jim Cropley, I second that.
Yeah, the full board is here, so none of the alternates are seated. So the motion has to come from a full member. Jim, you can make that motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the minutes.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Second, Scala. All right, I'll call the roll. Rodney?
Yes. Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Tom? Jeff?
Aye.
Jim Cropley?
Aye.
And Jeremy was here. Oh, he's in the waiting room. I have to admit him. Okay.
Not sure what just happened there, but I got kicked out.
Sorry about that. We aren't sure either. Okay. Do you vote to approve the minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the chair votes aye, so that's 700. Residents Forum, is there anyone here to speak on a matter which is not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll go to staff reports.
Items on the agenda we've been working on, looking at some senior housing regulations, and working on the Connecticut countryside four towns initiative. We had a summit last week, which. Sign in and
that's what I have. I don't know, Mike. Yeah, so I have one sort of item that I did want to review with the commission. Patrice and I talked a little bit about this, and I felt it was probably the best for us to get some input from you. We received an application for a person who would like to open a new business in town at 299 Boston Turnpike. The former use of the tenant space is slipping my mind, but effectively what they would like to do is operate, I guess what they're calling a candle business, where people will come in small groups and basically make candles sort of like you do paint nights and other things. And the property sits within the GMUIZ zone, and in looking at the regulations, effectively, unless you're a school or a public utility, there are no permitted uses in the GMUIZ. Everything is by special permit. In looking at the regulations, what she's proposing to do is come in and use the same space. It will not generate more parking. There will be no exterior changes to the building. There will be no more intensive modifications of any kind, both interior or exterior. She basically wants to go in and turn the lights on. So there is a section within the regulation, section 16, which basically permits the commission to review a proposed use and determine that because there's no increase in intensity, parking, exterior renovations, or effectively any real changes, you can find that a new special permit would not be required. So in looking at this, because of the former use, which Patrice can perhaps comment on, at least personally feel like it would perhaps be appropriate not to require a new special permit for a reuse of that space. So we're here with you tonight to see if you may agree.
So the previous use of the space was a Thai restaurant shelf, right? And so there'd be plenty of parking. There'd be the same amount of traffic. It may have to be limited if she's holding classes as opposed to retail sales. She is talking about bringing your own food or bringing your own food. That's something that the health department would deal with, but it's in a positive. I don't see a big change in use, except it's going from restaurant to your own candles or whatever it is. So I don't know if you want her to come in with a special permit to change the use. Is it something you feel that staff could do as long as we get, works the parking is okay and the remainder.
So what happens if she years down the road and she decides to end her business? You want to go from candle making back to a restaurant?
The restaurant's still permitted.
Okay. So it's not going to change future use as a restaurant.
It shouldn't. Right, okay. Mike, it would be on the special permit in front of the land.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Patrice. I don't know if you're talking to me or if I'm just assuming.
Yeah, this is Linda, the board clerk. I can barely hear you, Patrice.
Can you hear me now, Linda? See?
I have a very weird echo.
I think we'll begin feedback.
Better? Is that better?
Yes.
It's better, but don't go far from the owl.
Okay. You need me to repeat what I said?
That'd be a good idea.
Yes.
The former use was the Jiao Prai restaurant, the Thai restaurant. And so she would be going from that to candle making or candle classes with bring your own food and drink, which would be handled by the public health department. I think Arlene asked if that use change, would the restaurant use still be allowed in the future? And the answer to that is yes, because the special permit travels with the property.
Jim Cropp, I have a question. So do they actually have, they don't use the kit. They won't use the kitchen though, right? They must have something to heat their wax though, right?
That's
what
we know the answer to, and the kitchen, I think, has been dismantled at this point.
Oh, go on, Scott. Go on.
Yeah, this may be premature or irrelevant. Does the applicant also intend to have wine as part of their business service?
So what we have in the narrative is that they will be open 4 days a week, it looks like. They are planning to host small groups with a maximum of 15 participants. Customers will come to the store, will participate in these small groups, or they'll purchase a candle and they'll leave. They would need to obtain their own individual liquor license from liquor control if they were going to do any other alcohol service and that type of thing, which would require some level of involvement from the town, either at staff. They typically want sign off locally before liquor control would issue a permit, which we haven't seen. So as of now, I would say no, that there's no food service plan based on the narrative, and she's not intending to have any other employees beyond herself.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I know that a lot of places that does candle wax or any type of paint, they kind of couple that and pair that with wine most times. So just curious. Thanks.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because I think I saw the sign and I think it thought it said brew candles. So I was thinking that it was going to be a brew shop with candles in it. But evidently that must be brewing, must be making the candles. Do you know what the name of it is?
I do not. She does not list the name.
Okay.
Well, I will say that if this has been sent over to me on, I'm not going to say which social media platform, but it has been advertised for beer tastings, wine tastings, making candles, and all this other stuff. So I think we have to cover all these bases before we go further with that.
One thing that I will add is that, you know, statewide, one of the ways a lot of places kind of, I don't want to use the word circumvent because they're not circumventing anything, but if they allow patrons to bring their own beer and wine, they are completely exempt from the liquor laws. They don't need a permit from the state. They don't need a permit locally. It's basically non-regulated. So a lot of smaller places will allow you, if you're a customer and you're paying, to bring your own alcohol, which may be the case here. But I haven't seen any of that, what it was you're referring to. So that's just me speculating.
Also, I don't know if it's changed, but a few years ago, probably 8 or 9 years ago, we had a company come in with wine. The winery in Coventry came to the store at an event, and they actually hold the liquor license. And as long as it's a tasting, and they actually came, because we called the state, and the state said that's legal. There's no, you don't have to do that if it's a real tasting and the company is actually there.
Okay, it sounds to me like there should be an application
to the commission.
To the commission. Thank you. All right, the next order of business is public hearing, application, modification of special permit to allow part-time use for religious assembly and as-needed preparation of humanitarian packages, emergency relief items, 180 West Street, Highland Meeting Room, Peter DeMalley, Design Professionals Incorporated, application number PL-23-1. Yes, please.
Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission will hold a public hearing on Wednesday, February 8th, 2023
at 7. We lost Patrice's voice again.
She got too far away from the owl.
I think the computer is muted.
You can't hear me now?
Now, yeah, it was muted before.
Okay. As needed prep of humanitarian packages, emergency relief items at 180 West Street, Highland Meeting Room, application number PL-23-1. Said proposal is on file in the Bolton Land Use Department and the town website. All interested parties may attend virtually or in person and testify or may submit written testimony. This was dated the 23rd of January, 2023 and published in the Harper Current on January 27th, 2023 and February 3rd, 2023.
Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My name is Members of the Commission. For the record, I'm Peter DeMalley, President of Design Professionals in South Missouri.
retained by Highland Meeting Room, the applicant, to represent them with respect to this this application for the modification of the special permit. As you probably are aware, 180 West Street, which is just on the east side of West Street, is 185, just 3 lots north of School Street. That was our place restaurant until I think it was March of 2020 when it closed, and it's been vacant since then. And Highland Meeting Room is in need of a area for a building for part-time use. Part-time use consists of two activities. One is for part of their membership to come over to this building. Looks like probably 3 times a week, for under 2 hours each time for the faith-based sessions, et cetera, things of that nature. And the other purpose is to, on an as-needed basis, they have part of their organization's outreach effort to help others is a humanitarian effort, and they prepare packages, for relief purposes. If there's a natural disaster, if there's a domestically or overseas, they want to respond to that and help out. So they get their kits. This particular building, is well suited for preparing these kits. Then at this juncture, they're not interested in applying for food service right now, which is like preparing food there. The only purpose right now is to take a prepackaged item, food item, and put it in a kit for people. Boxes of them, it could be in the gathering. They're not preparing, they're not baking things or cooking things at this particular facility. In the future, if they choose to do that, they'll come back and who's your sanitarian from Eastern Highlands. And he's outlined if they do get in the food service business of actually preparing the food instead of just dropping it in a bag or a box, they would have to get a food service permit in there for different classifications, I think. So let me just introduce, we've got Kurt Fortson, member of James Wasky, he was here, he met me at one point, yes, he was here, and also Jerry Fosty over here. So the three of them are members of this nonprofit. It is a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Manchester, and they have a facility that just isn't big enough for when they break out into groups for their faith purposes. They just don't have enough space in a facility. And that's why they're looking for a satellite facility that's nearby where some of their members can go over and gather for these in prayer sessions and things of that nature, up to 3 times a week. So in terms of intensity of use, we're going to be going way down on intensity of use from when it was our place on prayer, because it's only 3 times a week they're going to be there. Small numbers of people, and they're not going to do anything such as a funeral, memorial service, weddings, or anything like that. They're not proposing to have this for gathering other than for their faith-based things and for when they're preparing kits and relief packages on a humanitarian basis for people, and it's primarily outside of their group, so on an as-needed basis. So if there's a crisis in down south, there's a hurricane comes through or something, and they want to respond to that, or I think you can respond to Ukraine and stuff like that, they will assemble there and get some people together from their membership, and they'll put together kits at their own expense, by the way. And then they'll ship them out, and they're not distributed there to people in need. And so no one's coming there for that purpose. They just assemble things there, members of their group, and then they ship it out at their expense just to help out the world community, people locally in the region and also outside the region, even internationally. So they do a lot of that. Rapid relief team. And rapid relief team is what they call it. And they've been doing it. And one example we had, and this is a larger effort they had, but over at Rensselaer Field, there was a gathering where some police officers from Bristol who were fatally wounded in Bristol responding to an incident. And there were thousands of people who went to Rensselaer Field for memorial service. And they were requested by state police to help out with kits for the people who were showing up. So you have water and food and stuff, nutrients and stuff while they're there during the gathering. So they would get, I don't know what else was in the kit, but that type of thing, food and beverage and other things to help out everybody who's there. And there are thousands of police officers and other people there present. So they did that. They were they knew that they do that, and they reached out to them and they responded. That's one thing they did locally, but they also do things like overseas and domestic responding to natural disasters and other disasters, crises. So it's very, from my perspective, I think it's a very admirable thing what they do. And I'm pleased to be associated with it. So the
Can I interrupt you for a second? The board clerk has her hand up. I don't know if she has a question.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just having a hard time hearing him. He's out, it keeps freezing, and it's time you move.
Okay.
Down, and I can't catch what's going on.
Okay.
This is the first time that I've had this much trouble with the.
Do you think
maybe
if the
computer screen
is too close to
the
Okay, let me just describe a little bit the facility itself. You've probably all been there before when it was open as a restaurant, but our place restaurant, it's a building just over 2,000 square feet in size, and I don't believe we're allowed to use the second floor, at all for the fire marshal. But it is a roughly seat restaurant, a dining room, it has bathrooms, it has an office, and it has a kitchen. So here's on this board, sorry. Clearly, are you here, able to hear, by the way?
I can hear you better, but the frame's freezing. It's not your fault.
Okay, look by the owl and speak into the owl then, and forget the exhibits. So we have this restaurant building, which is vacant since March of 2020. Roughly 2,000 square feet in size, and the dining hall and the kitchen, very nice kitchen, more than what they need. They, subsequent to our informal discussion with this commission back on December 14th, if I recall it was, where the conclusion was we didn't need to do a text amendment because this particular, the uses we're talking about, the relief of assembling packages and stuff for relief humanitarian efforts, and also the part-time usage of the building for up to three times a week for small parts of their group from Manchester come over for prayer sessions and things of that nature. Didn't need to do a text amendment, would fit under the categories to modify the special permit for the restaurant so that we could proceed with an application. So that's why we're here. And subsequent to that, Highland Meeting Room actually acquired the property. So they're the owners. They reached out to some of the neighbors, some area businesses, and they would want to be good neighbors, and they're going to be quiet neighbors. I mean, the intensity is going to be far less. So a few things. So it's in the neighborhood business zone, the NB zone, even though it says something else on the assessor's cards. But and to the south of it, and I think to the east of it is the R1 zone, residential zone, which is as you're going toward School Street. It's just over an acre in size, and it's got five parking spaces in the front and 13 in the rear, so 18 total. That's all they need for these small gatherings that they have. As I mentioned, it's a 501c3 faith-based organization, so their religious purpose of the organization is religion, and also it's a humanitarian effort. So when we met with you, we discussed two possible categories under special permits, neighborhood business zone, and that's under section 8, uppercase B, dot 2, dot lowercase b, just get it straight. And the thought was that the personal business services category would apply for the faith-based assembly, the small parts of their organization as they gather up to three times a week. And that the latter activities, which is the light manufacturing use, would be item 17, light manufacturing, which is just putting together relief kits. We thought the consensus, I think, that day was that those two categories would work. And the idea when we met with Mike D'Amato and Patrice Carson, your town staff, prior to meeting with you, they thought the notion that maybe in the future it could be another use, if they no longer need it, Highland Meeting Room no longer needs the property, and it would certainly be suitable for such things as a restaurant or other permitted use in the zone. So we didn't. That's therefore we didn't even think about applying for another zone that would might be a better fit. So we thought this was a good fit at that meeting on December 14th. So we did that. And by the way, it was December 23rd that they acquired the property. So I got some exhibits. I'm going to be right by the owl here, but I've got some exhibits here, which we presented last time, I believe, which is just the original site plan. So back a few years back, they totally redid the septic system and redid the building for the restaurant use. So all that's been up to date. In discussions with Thad King, it's got a septic system much larger than they'd ever need for this part-time use. That's rated for 900 gallons per day, which is for a restaurant. And they're not going to be using the kitchen for cooking and stuff. So there's no concern about that. And it's only, three times a week, up to two hours each time. So there shouldn't be any problem whatsoever with that. They don't even need a state permit for the restaurant. Had to have a state permit for the well system, because you have gathering of people for the restaurant use. We won't be needing that, as our understanding. And if they choose to do something like prepare foods there, and they'll have to work with that and the Eastern Highlands to make sure they meet all the standards. But before they could do that, they might be doing that in the future. Relief packages from existing already prepackaged items is what they propose to do.
So you suggest this
question? Yes, from the members.
Were you kind of suggesting that it was going to be like a takeout type place where they would have prepared
meals? No, they have no interest in that.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be
in the future.
Yeah, members of their organization, the 501c3 nonprofit, would go to this facility when there's a need.
Right.
Could be Ukraine, it could be a hurricane, an earthquake, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Sure about earthquake, yeah. In Turkey. And it's horrible, 6,000 buildings, whatever, collapsed. Devastation is amazing. But whenever they have a calling for, they will, some members of their group will go over there and put together packages in boxes, in bags, what have you, and then distribute it from there. And so no one will be coming to their site to pick up relief items. They will distribute them somewhere else. So get them, whether they ship them overseas or they drop them off somewhere else, airport, where have you. They'll take care of that. Yeah, nobody's going to be coming there for food.
Yeah. Any members of the commission that are online, do you have a question? I don't see any members of the audience. Any members of the audience, any questions or comments? I don't see any. Do I have a motion to close the public hearing? And second. Second from Tom Robbins. Arlene.
Sorry, I can speak much louder.
Okay, I'll call the roll. Tom Robbins.
Aye.
Arlene Fiano.
Aye.
Rodney Fournier.
Aye.
Jim Cropley.
Aye.
Jeremy Flick.
Aye.
Jeff Scala.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Public hearing is closed. Okay, we'll move on to the next. Thank you. Next public hearing application, zoning regulation amendments regarding cannabis, number PL-22-6. Okay.
The second public hearing tonight is a three-part public hearing to amend the zoning regulations PL-22-6 regarding cannabis. You do one of the following things. Linda, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, okay. The first item is to allow only retail sales of cannabis products only in the GB zone by special permit. I don't know if you want to do these one at a time. You want me to read all three and then do them one at a time?
Read all three and then we'll do them one at a time.
B is to prohibit any cannabis establishment, and C would be to extend the current moratorium to continue to further evaluate public input and consider amendments to the draft regulations.
And the proposed regulations for number one have been published.
Yeah, so all the proposals have been on file in the Land Use Department and on the town website. All interested parties may attend virtually or in person to testify and may submit written testimony. And I have not received any written testimony for the record. This was dated at the 23rd of January and published in the current January 27th and February 3rd.
Okay, so we're going to take people who are here in the room first. Are there any comments from the audience? Bill?
Can you still say our name and address?
Yes, please.
Yeah, William Anderson, 77 French Road. Well, I pulled some data off of the state's website. Towns were asked to report where their status was. It looks like, as of today, 37 towns have approved it, 33 are in moratorium, and 20 have prohibited. I don't know, is there 162 towns in Connecticut? 169 towns in Connecticut, the rest haven't reported, and Bolton wasn't on the list, they didn't report. So my concern is there's a 3% gross revenue to the town. And every town that prohibits this, the people in that town are going to go to another town and give them money. So from a monetary standpoint, whether people approve marijuana, disapprove, it's irrelevant. Everyone's going to travel to get it if they want it. So why not keep that within this town? And I guess the question I have, why is it only the retail? Because we're allowed by state statute to have one retail and one micro grower. Did I miss some discussion? Why aren't we allowing one grower as well?
Well, I think some of the reasons given were the difficulty of controlling the smell, whether there was any suitable location in town, what zone would it go in?
Okay.
Those were some of the concerns, but so we decided to bring the regulations that we did.
Okay, then I would like to go to moratorium and discuss it more. I think we're giving up a tremendous opportunity. That's all I have.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to address Eric?
Eric Monta, 34 Lake Street. I don't know if any commission member has considered looking at the plan of conservation and development, because your decisions are based on that document, on everything that sits in front of you. There's nothing, not one word that supports drug use in this town, selling it. So I'd like to make sure that the members, all the members, are aware of this and consider this in their decision. That 3% isn't going to make or break Bolton. Because you got to understand how many facilities are going to be put in Manchester and in Willamette already, the permits they've got. We're not a very densely populated area. And when we did the plan of conservation and development, Bolton, by the advisor that they hired to help this commission do it, made reference that our town is a drive-through town. It's not a town of destination. And if you want to make this town a destination over cannabis, shame on you for doing that. That's not what it's all about. We have destinations now like Fish Farm, Munson's, things like that. But if you approve this, you're going to make the town of Bolton be a destination for cannabis. I mean, I'm not sure that this town is for that. If you go any farther with it, this should be on a referendum vote for the whole town to make the decision on what this should be. There's people for and against this. There's a lot of people that feel that if this town goes through with this, it's a federal offense. Still, on the books, it's a federal offense for any of these cannabis operations to be selling this. The federal government's law supersedes the state, but the federal government isn't going to step on anybody's toes at this point in time. And until Congress and the Senate approve cannabis nationally, which is never going to happen, probably in my lifetime, but anyways, it's just probably never going to happen. So the federal government is just going to let this thing keep going and going. So it's just, this is similar to the adult establishments that this commission went through. There's a couple of you that were here on that commission when this went through. I don't think anybody should vote on this until they see a regulation. Distances from schools, distances from churches, distances from alcohol, whatever you want to do. I have not seen anything, and I maybe this is the interesting stages of this whole regulation.
Those proposed regulations have been published and they're available.
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Then you can
I went on the website, I've got the agendas and everything, and there's no regulation that I can find. Well, okay. So that's my mistake. But I think you'd need to really take a hard look at this. I would like to see you extend it. Also, I would like to see every select person give their opinion on this regulation, if it goes through, written, so that everybody in this town can see what their opinion is. And every one of them that does not write an opinion, that would be a yes vote. That's the only way you'd get politicians to respond. So I'm not sure if you have the power to do that, but I would highly suggest before you make your decision is to get their opinions, all of them, on what they believe. Because the group of most of the people that are in the selectmen's position now want this to be a country town, a cannabis retail. It's not a country town atmosphere. They want it rural. That's why we bought the farm. So that's just my opinion. I'm not saying whether I'm for or against it. I'm just here to voice my opinion of, I didn't see anything written where the Plan of Conservation and Development said this, or we looked at it, or we even discussed it.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak on item one? Is there anyone online who would like to speak to item one? Seeing none. Any responses from the commission?
Well, from the two people that spoke, it's my understanding that you both are in favor of extending the current moratorium until the topic of growing and manufacturing is clearer, and you're in favor of extending it because you're not opposed or against, but you don't think we've done our due diligence. Okay.
Any of the members online have a response? Okay, seeing none.
So how this works is we're still on number one.
We're still on number one.
So all we were discussing is the sales of cannabis.
That's right.
Okay.
So now we're going to move down to number two, to speak on whether we should prohibit any cannabis establishment. Is there anyone in the anyone present who would like to speak to that?
I apologize. I got to go. I got to take my daughter. Sorry.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson.
I don't see anyone want to speak to the who's online would like to speak to the question of whether we should prohibit any cannabis establishment. I see no hands raised, no one mutes. Okay. Then I will move on to item three, extend the current moratorium to continue to further evaluate public opinion. Input and consider amendments to the draft regulations. Is there anyone who would like to speak to that who is present here now? No. Anyone online would like to speak to item three? All right, now. Is there any kind of discussion that the board needs to have for the record? Because I know that you can't bring up new topics in the meeting that haven't been discussed at the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Jeff.
Just a general comment. I figured this would be a much more controversial topic. The general public, and with only two, you know, people speaking from the public in reference to these matters, I'm kind of surprised. From my many years of experience, not only planning and zoning, but other public involvement type meetings, generally you get people come to the things that don't want to see it. The complainers, I call them the complainers. And I'm kind of surprised we don't have more opposition one way or the other, just as a general note.
I myself am aware of discussion out in the community that is in opposition, and I was expecting to see them more of them here myself.
I mean, it was published appropriately. It was on the website appropriately. I'm just kind of, honestly, I'm kind of shocked that we don't have more comments one way or the other.
Yeah, Jim Cropley, I kind of agree with Jeff. I'm shocked that I thought there, I mean, I've heard comments everywhere I go in town about it. And I assume that there would be more people, whether it's for it or against it. I don't know. I'm kind of shocked that there's not more involvement, but I guess they have the opportunity.
Do either of you think that we should continue the public hearing?
I'm kind of leaning that way, just to make sure that we receive as much comment from the public as possible, because regardless of which way we go, you know, you're probably going to get complaints, whether or not directly to your face, but you're going to hear it through various social media and, you know, accosted at the nearest store.
So what would the benefit be to extending the public hearing versus putting in the moratorium, which is only good until June, right? Is it a month?
Well, we could extend the public hearings on all three matters to give the public opportunities to make comments, write in emails, what, you know, so forth.
Okay, so if we extend the public hearing until March.
Is that what it is?
Well, to your March meeting.
To the March meeting.
So you're going to continue
the public hearing to the March meeting. It's not going to have any We're not coming up on a deadline for the moratorium. And we're not coming. I see no reason not to, given the nature, what I think is really the controversial nature of this topic,
with relatively no input.
With no input, I think we would want to at least extend the public hearing and maybe go out on social media and try to get people to comment.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like we need to follow all avenues to get a hold of the community, because obviously if we're just doing the town website, people don't go to bolton.gov or org. You know, they're on everything Bolton and absolutely everything Bolton and east of the river, all this other stuff. We really need to reach the community at the level that they're using for communication now in 2023.
I agree with that.
Do we have the authority to use social media to get people to a public hearing? Or as commission members, we're supposed to keep our mouths shut, right?
Your dealings with the public is supposed to be at a public hearing. I would not be out on social media drumming the beat. No.
So we can't.
We can copy this and you could put it on everything. But there's no opinion. It's just informing.
But you, as a planning and zoning member, you could get your daughter to do that.
You can't really go and, you know, we can't as individual commission members start posting stuff under your personal name, because it is an open public hearing. And if you're getting any feedback, how do you collect that record as part of the formal public hearing record? So if you post something and somebody makes a comment responding to your posting, it's not collected as part of the public hearing. The public hearing is still technically open. So I don't think you can do it under your own personal name. You have to come through something formal from the town where they can collect everything.
All right, we'll have to have.
Am I wrong, Patrice?
I mean, we could put, I have to get permission to do it. We could probably put the notice out on the email blast that goes out. I could probably put something in saying that the hearing was not
well attended.
Not well attended. Thank you to those who did come out. However, yes. I don't want to begrudge you. But do something like that and say, you know, the public hearing is here, and if you want to comment, you can write in, you can come to the meeting, you can come virtually.
In addition to potentially the town creating awareness on the social media, would it also be possible to simply have signage spread out throughout the town stating, you know, cannabis, something in reference to cannabis, public hearing with the date and the time? I think that would also be an effective means to get more eyes on, more awareness, if there was actual signage in specific locations of town.
Same way we post referendums.
Exactly.
Can I just jump in quick?
Sure.
So two thoughts. I can't help myself from making, and for the purposes of anybody who's going to watch the recording, I feel like it's worth mentioning. I think it's important to note that the reason why we are here as Bolton and why everybody else in the 169 towns are here is because when cannabis was legalized in Connecticut, the legislature told towns, if you don't adopt regulations, you must allow it like a similar use. So towns had to be reactive and they had to make a decision. The challenge is, as was pointed out, this happened a year ago. And so if you're using zoning regulations, plans of conservation and development, strategic plans, community input, anything that existed prior to that date is not referencing that, because it was basically pushed upon the towns without notice. And the legislature has made other changes since then, like, hey, we're gonna have a cap. We're only gonna allow one per town. And it's gonna be based upon population. And then they removed that cap. So that's a mandated obligation that the commission has. One of the things that we've done in some other towns, and I think you could probably do it here because you're not reviewing an application made by a specific party. One of the things that's uncomfortable, I think, is if you start doing things differently for one application versus another, it starts looking like you're trying to get feedback differently than you would through the normal public hearing process. Since you are the applicant, I don't think that risk exists, but something that might be possible is for someone in town to reach out to whomever runs whatever this social media group is. They have a group administrator, and ask them to share the legal notice or whatever's on the town website into that group, and they can turn the comment ability off. So they can basically make this post, it can provide the information, but without the ability to make comments, it sort of doesn't create this second quasi public hearing going on via Facebook, which then you guys have to ignore and pretend not to see and that type of thing. It's worked fairly well if you can make it happen. So that's just an option.
I mean, I feel like that's probably something that needs to be done as far as, you know, obviously we can't weigh either way, but we have to make sure that our constituents know exactly what's going on, especially with something of this magnitude.
Probably, I kind of agree. I mean, I really feel that, you know, maybe we extend the moratorium so that we can get more people. I don't think we should post signs and everything else because we don't do that for other applications. I mean, I agree with that. I don't think we should, you know, do anything special. Maybe we, you know, extend the moratorium and then come up with some other ideas. But I don't think we should jump through hoops to tell people. I mean, I'm shocked that more people didn't come or didn't respond. But I don't, again, I mean, so if someone else wants to put a building up, we don't advertise it on billboards. And I guess that might be different because that's someone in town doing it and we're doing it as a board. But I mean, we haven't done that for any other zoning changes that we've ever done. I don't think, at least.
Oh, I am in favor of continuing the public hearing until March. I don't think we need to continue the moratorium. If we don't hear from people in March, it won't be the first time we've designed regulations without a lot of public input. And if people aren't happy, that's when we hear back. That's when we can amend regulations. And it's happened many times in my years on this board. So I think that extending the public hearing is a good thing. I don't think we need to extend the moratorium. We have draft regulations that are out there that I don't know if we can make it more accessible for people other than the town website.
They're available, like I said, copies are available in the town clerk's office, in the land use office. If somebody emails me, I can mail them the draft copy. I can ask about that. I mean, again, we don't typically, you know, flash them up there. The only other thing I can suggest to you is I will get a call at some point in the next week from the newspaper. I'm happy to give them what happened here in the minutes and maybe an article with the next date of the next public hearing where we're continuing to would help. And if it goes out in the paper and that doesn't help, then I don't know what to tell you.
I don't have the draft regulations in front of me, but it is my recollection that we did address the
You actually do have them.
Oh, I do. Oh, I didn't read the whole thing. Sorry. We did address the issue of production, and we wrote where we would want it and
production we are not allowing.
Okay.
The only thing you wanted to allow was retail sales and the general business zone.
Okay.
And that was based on exactly what Tom said.
Right.
Where to locate it, lack of sewer, odor concerns.
Okay.
A appropriate places to put it. So it was, it came down to retail sales in the GB zone.
Okay. Got it. I mean, so there's my opinion.
What? Hey, Darlene, Jim Cropley.
What did he say?
Kwan didn't unmute, so.
Oh, I'm here. I
okay. You've got your hand up. You want to talk?
Yeah, I do. Okay. So I'm not a voting member this evening, but I will kind of preface. I think what Patrice brought up about newspaper articles, things of that nature, are very good. But I do fear that we will miss a majority of the residents in Bowen. If you look at, you know, if you think about frequency, frequency of access, people may not necessarily go to a social media page. If they go to a social media page, there's different groups on social media. Some people may be subscribed to one group and not the other, and vice versa. So there is opportunity there for potential misses there. If I think about, I believe it was Mr. Cropley that stated that he wouldn't do signage. I think just about any time you get in your vehicle, you're going to notice a sign. So you will get awareness there. But is that effective? Are we going to set precedents for other applications in the future? I don't know, but I know that this is such a big consequential decision, either yay or nay, that you're going to have people at some point that will express frustration. And in either case, if it's if we allow it or don't allow it, they will come out. And I think we'll hear a lot of feedback in either direction at the ending conclusion of any decision. So the more participation, I think it's best for this commission to consider. If there's other ideas on how to get that, you know, awareness out effectively, I think that's something we should definitely consider. The more input, the more opportunity we have for people to voice their opinion, can help this commission make the best informed decision that represents majority of town members.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, Jim Cropley. The only problem is who would make the signs, who would post the signs, put up the signs. I mean, if we did do that, I mean, can we do that?
We're not going to do that. I mean, you can't really do that. I mean, if people were in favor and wanted to put up their own little signs, they could do that, but the town's not going to do that.
Right. I mean, we don't have the
capability. We'll put it on the town's social media, and then maybe Bolton might pick it up and put it on their own. We can put it in the newspaper as an article. I can put it, I think, I have to ask, on the email blast, which goes out to half the town, from what I understand. And if you can't reach people through those three things, then you're not going to reach them, I think.
Question, Patrice, is it also possible for people that are signed up for certain SMS text messages through a Bowen listserv, is it possible to use that as well?
My understanding is they only use that for emergencies. They do not use it for everyday occurrences.
Okay.
I've asked about that for other things, Kwan, and that was the response.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I hear every day that the bus is going to be running late or missed.
So what will we have to do can we just table it until March? And
so my suggestion would be
they don't.
One, two, and all of it, all three of them, to your March meeting, which is March 8th, at 7:30, and see what happens. And at that point, you will need to make some decisions because your moratorium will be closing in April.
Okay, the chair will make the motion. And make
I'll
a motion.
Second that motion.
Thank you. To continue the public hearing on cannabis regulations.
Real quick, Eric Montes, 384 Bed Street, Baltimore. Seeing what I've heard here, and I wasn't sure how you guys were handling this, but listening to your conversation, I'm against it.
Thank you.
I'm not neutral anymore.
Thank you. Okay. I make a motion to continue the public hearing on zoning regulation amendments regarding cannabis, items 1, 2, and 3, to our March meeting, March 8th, 2023, 7:30 p.m., in person at Bolton Town Hall, 222 Bolton Center Road, or virtual. Is there a second?
I second that.
Second, Jeremy Flick.
Can we have discussion?
And yes, we have discussion.
All right. I was listening to a conversation on public radio, and they were talking about the difference between cannabis and marijuana. I don't know the difference, but they were saying there was a difference, and that is not in our definitions. Is that something we should look into? If we're selling marijuana?
We're discussing the motion.
Oh, that's all I can discuss? Well, I don't want to. Do I have to bring this up next time? I can bring it up.
Yes, you can bring it up next time.
Figure out, but I mean, we're governed by whatever they allow us to do through statute.
Okay. Okay.
Is there any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. I'll call the roll. Rodney?
Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Tim Cropley?
Aye.
Jeff Scala?
Aye.
Jeremy Flick?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Public hearing is continued. So now we're moving on to item number 6. Old business, discussion, possible decision, modification of special permit to allow part-time use for religious assembly and as-needed preparation of humanitarian packages, emergency relief items, 180 West Street, Highland Meeting Room.
So, Mr. Chairman, from a staff perspective, the only item that was really not, that really requires conditioning is the food service establishment plan review applications, necessary food service licenses, which the applicant alluded to, and it was in the staff report from Eastern Highlands Health District. Also, as the applicant mentioned, distribution from the property directly to consumers was not going to take place, so I would place that as a condition. Mm-hmm. We are not approving any signs here. If they want signs, they would come in with an application for that to the zoning enforcement officer afterward. And other than that, unless you had any questions.
And those are already part of the suggested motion.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have anything to add, or were you all set?
I'm good.
Okay. The chair will make the motion. I make a motion to approve Peter DeMalley's application for modification of a special permit to allow part-time use for religious assembly and as-needed preparation of humanitarian packages, emergency relief items at 180 West Street, application number PL-23-1, in accordance with the application information submitted, which is conditioned on the following. The applicant shall apply for a food service establishment plan review application. 2, the applicant shall obtain and maintain all necessary food service licenses. 3, this approval is subject to compliance with any comments or requirements of the State Department of Public Health, Eastern Highlands Health District, Fire Marshal, the Town Engineer, and the Inland Wetlands Commission. 4, distribution from the property directly to consumers is prohibited. 5, signs are not part of this decision. Any proposed signage will need separate permit applications and approvals from the zoning enforcement officer. 6, by acceptance of this approval and its conditions, the applicant, owner, and or their successors and assigns acknowledge the right of town staff to periodically enter upon the subject property for the purpose of determining compliance with the terms of this approval. The Planning and Zoning Commission finds with these conditions, the plan meets the requirements of the Bolton zoning regulations. Is there a second?
Jim Crosby, I second it.
Second, Tom Robbins. Is there any further discussion? Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The first sentence where it says to allow part-time use for religious assembly and as needed assembly, is that two
separate? And as needed preparation of humanitarian packages.
Did they portray that they were going to use it as a religious assembly location?
Yes.
Or they did?
Small group.
Okay. How do we define small group?
18 parking spaces.
There's fire marshal. Okay. No more discussion on my part.
Anyone else? Then I will call the roll. Rodney?
Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Jeff Scala?
Aye.
Jeremy Flick?
Aye.
Jim Cropley?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the best in your endeavors. Okay. Item 6B, we have continued the public hearing, so that is, and is there anything else under, nothing else under old business? So we'll move on to new business. Discussion, possible decision on bond release request, site improvement bond for All Town Fresh 129 Boston Turnpike, Global Montello Group Corp, number PL-21-7.
In your package, there was an email requesting to close out the letter of credit to 129 Boston Turnpike from Tom Bell of Global Bond with us. The town engineer has reviewed and has okayed the site improvement bond currently being held to be released in a memo of January 17th. I know Tom's on the line here. I don't know if he has anything to add, but I'll leave that up to him and the chairman.
Do you have anything else to say? He's unmuting.
No. I do not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then the chair will make a motion. I make a motion to release the Global Montello Group Corp site improvement bond in the amount of $300,000 for completed site improvements at 129 Boston Turnpike, application number PL-21-7, as requested by Global Partners LP on January 16th, 2023. And as reviewed and approved by Town Engineer Joseph Dillon on January 17th, 2023. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second, Arlene. Any discussion?
Hearing none? I have a question.
Yes.
A bunch of the shrubs that they planted there are dead. Is that part of this or no?
At the All Town Fresh? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The other place.
Wrong location.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Rodney?
Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Jim Cropley?
Aye.
Jeremy Flick?
Aye.
Jeff Scala?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Item number 7B, discussion decision, request for extension of time to file plans with town clerk under zoning regulation section 16B.5B, special permit application for bed and breakfast, 60 Villa Luisa Road, Villa Luisa, Asim Etem, application number PL-22-7.
Also in your packet was an email dated January 31st from Asim Etem, who was the applicant for bed and breakfast at 60 Villa Luisa, requesting a 90-day extension of time to file his plans with the town clerk. We've done this pretty regularly lately. Those are not the plans. Those are a different set. But they should be coming in. If we had been in, we would have moved this from the agenda, but we didn't have them in yet. So to keep on the safe side, he's asking for an extension, and should be no reason why not to get it.
Okay, the chair will make the motion. I make a motion to grant a 90-day extension of time from February 8th, 2023 to May 9th, 2023 to file plans with the town clerk's office as allowed by and in accordance with 16B5B endorsement and filing of the Bolton zoning regulations for all approvals granted under permit number PL-22-7 for Asim Etem, which application and plans were approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission on November 9th, 2022. Is there a second? Second Tom Robbins. Any discussion? I'll call the roll.
Aye.
Rodney. Rodney votes aye. Arlene?
Aye.
Tom Robbins?
Aye.
Jim Cropley?
Aye.
Jeremy Flick?
Aye.
Jeff Scala?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Okay, under correspondence. Well, I was thinking of possible discussion of the candle making, but we've already decided that they should apply. So yeah. Correspondence, request for letter of support for parking area for Nathan Hale Corridor Greenway.
In your packet, you will have seen from Gwen Mirren a request regarding writing a grant for DEP. She's writing a grant for funds to create a parking area, a small parking area, for the Nathan Hale Greenway at 180, I believe it is, Hop River, 130? Uh-oh, hold on.
Mistaken?
It is 130, excuse me, 130. She's just looking for a letter of support from the Planning and Zoning Commission regarding this. She's actually given us a template. If you are, I actually typed it out and changed it a little. If you are so inclined to do that, you can sign the letter and I can send it to her for her package to the DEP.
Patrice, is there any backstory in reference to that specific parcel they picked for the parking area? Because there's a bunch of parcels in that area that might be more suitable, at least from my perspective.
Well, there was one other parcel that was reviewed that was closer to
South Road.
The guy that sells the cars. I don't remember the name.
Car Connection.
Auto Collision. Auto Collision. That's right. It's on the same side that they used as a staging area when they did some work on Route 6, apparently. We've looked at that. That would take a lot more as far as sight line to use it. So they had looked at this piece, which is owned by the town. It was one of the pieces that was given back to the town in the Route 6 exchange.
Correct. That's the first piece. That's the first piece north of Munson's, correct?
I believe so, yes. It used to have a house on it, perhaps.
Did they look at the piece just south of Munson's, that big flat area?
No, they did not.
It's already got a curb. That's already got a curb cut there. Plus a flat area below.
The one in the north has a curb cut too, because it was a driveway for a home.
Okay.
So this is, if you look in here, this is Munson's.
The above the parking lot they have, the upper parking lot?
Yes, it would be above the upper parking lot. And the farther down the road you go, Jeff, the more steep it's going to be to get up to the trail.
More steep to get to the trail. Doesn't that trail run along the corridor?
It runs through the corridor where they were going to put Route 6.
Right. And doesn't that trail cross over South Road?
Mm-hmm. Crossing over there all the time.
All the time.
The woods. Yep. So Munson's is just below it. From the
how do you get to the trail from Munson's without crossing 6?
Because the trail's on the Munson side of 6. It's up in the back. It has not actually been necessarily cut in officially yet, but it runs basically from the back of England's Plaza all the way to Andover. On the properties that they took for the Route 6 freeway to be expanded, which never got done.
It has to stay as passive.
And it has recreation. To stay as passive recreation. That was the deal when they gave the property back to the towns.
The rail trail goes behind Bolton Ice Palace.
That's a different trail.
That's different.
Uh-huh.
That's the Hop River Trail. We're talking about the Nathan Hale Greenway.
Oh, boy.
Okay. The tree says Marianne looked at the because with the recent development or redevelopment of the former M&M site, we requested that they create a trail up to the Hop River. Have you looked at anything to connect that piece to this piece?
You can't connect them without crossing Route 6.
Right. I mean,
on the opposite side.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that.
We couldn't do that. That would have to be a state. The state would have to want to put a crosswalk in there, and I would doubt they'd do that.
We'll just put a big speed bump in there.
Can't we build another bridge?
Well, maybe.
The citizens of South Road and Stony Road and on the other side of 6 would absolutely love it. There's no way to get across, so a bridge is not a bad proposal.
Another big red bridge.
You know people are going to do it anyway. They're going to.
I'm still hoping for Santiago Calatrava. That's the kind of bridge I'm looking for.
Does that connect?
Nathan Hale Greenway? There's a whole report on it, also on our website. And it starts, like I said, from England's, and it goes all the way through the backs of those properties along 6. And it goes into Coventry, and then it goes into Andover, connects to the Nathan Hale homestead.
Where does it go from England?
In the woods.
Just into the woods behind. It hasn't been officially cut in, and the whole trail isn't cut in yet. Yeah. Part of the problem is there is no parking for it.
Yeah.
We can't use the England's parking because they're using that for business, and the piece behind that the state owns, there's an easement for England's to use it. So, I mean, they can't really do that. So they're looking for parking along the way here and there. The first place we looked was the staging area that was down on the other side. But the sight line, the state would not have approved that, even though they used it for staging.
So this is really the start of the project. And once you get parking, now you can have people with rakes and shovels and...
Right.
Sickle. Do you have the proposed trail that you can put up?
Yeah, I mean, she's got it kind of on the packet thing that she has here.
So the sight line is really that much better up that close to where you're coming off the highway.
Coming off the highway?
Yeah.
Coming off the highway.
Well, if you're coming off the highway, how are you going to get over there?
You're coming up the hill.
I know where it is. So you're coming off Route 6.
Oh, it's right. Yeah, it's right there.
And what's going to stop you from making a left-hand turn?
Nowhere to turn. Oh, when you're coming out, exiting the parking lot?
No, if you're coming from off of 384.
if you're coming off of 384, yeah, and you want to go into that parking lot,
you have to go down Route 6, turn around, come back up.
Yeah, people aren't going to do that.
No, that's impossible.
Oh. Oh.
So, Jeremy, if you're looking at the screen, I'm trying to get
they're going to go into the ice palace and turn around.
Right.
Well,
here's the Hop River Trail on the south side of 6.
Mm.
Here's the Nathan Hill Greenway on the north side that runs, that purple is all those properties that were given back to the town. And then this is the Coventry line. So it continues into Coventry and it keeps going down into Andover.
Oh my Lord.
There's nothing else we can use it for. So it's a trail.
Is this going to turn into, you know, like a gravel beaten path or what?
No, it'll be a footpath. No, it'll no grass, brought in, no pavement, nothing like that.
The ice house is down here.
And there's no way to get there from Bolton Notch, right?
Well, there is some movement. Sorry, I'm trying to get this better. There is some movement discussed to cross this cross up here at the crosswalk.
Yep.
Bring on the notch area over, and then you would be able to go through the tunnel and go underneath and connect it to Hop. And that's with the state right now.
Okay, who's bringing this to the table?
Bringing what to the table?
Who's bringing this proposed trail to the table?
The Board of Selectmen are applying for a grant, and Gwen Miriam offered to write it.
There's a trails committee, and she's the head of a trails committee.
Not the head of the trails committee.
Oh,
she's just on the
trails. Oh, she's on the trails. Are you the head of the
trails? No, she is. Her selectman is the head of the trails committee.
Okay. My bad.
No, that's okay.
She is a member of the trails committee.
Yeah.
I know Gwen very well.
Okay. So recently the Board of Selectmen authorized her to apply for a grant under the Deeps Recreational Trails Grant Program to help fund the construction of a parking area. And so she's putting together the grant. The grant always asks for, you know, letters of support for the project. So she's asking the Planning and Zoning Commission if they would write a letter. To I think it's Kim Bradley.
Yes.
In support. Another item on the agenda that's coming up, and I think it's the next item, is a request for an 824 referral that you also have a letter. They're the same, about the same thing. The second one, though, is from the town administrator, Jim Rupert, asking for this, whether or not we would consider this an 824 referral, and if we did, would we give it our approval.
Why would it become an 824?
An 824 referral is something that the Planning Commission and or Zoning Planning and Zoning Commission has to look at when there's any kind of
improvement,
public improvement.
I thought it was over a certain price.
There is no price attached to it. It's significant, okay. They call it. So,
okay.
You know, it, in this case, I don't think it hurts to give them the 824 referral. This is all laid out in our plan of conservation and development to create public access to the trails and to help foster that access and the use of those trails. And open space, if you remember, was probably our top priority in the Prouds and Sorries when we did that exercise. So,
hey Patrice.
Yes.
Did I hear somebody, I don't know if I heard it correctly, but what about that large space just kind of like northwest of Bolton Collision, kind of across from where like DNS Yardworks is. There's like a very large turnoff and like a big open field right there.
That's the staging area that we looked at first.
Okay.
That was used by the state of Connecticut, and the you can't meet the site distance to coming out of there.
Ah.
Without some real significant improvement.
Okay.
Well, that's
the town engineer has looked at both of these, and this is where we've landed at this point.
I am all for what the town engineer, that's what he gets paid for. I'm sure it's a woody project.
Once this trail gets going, and when it does get going, if there's more parking needed, I'm sure they can find more parking area. I think they're looking for more of a staging area to start something, right?
That's right.
So we can get in. So I would think I would be in favor of it. I mean,
they're talking about, I think, like 10, it would be about 10 spaces. And there is a parking area designated in Coventry along the trail. So you could park at one and hike down there and then come back, or, you know, those kind of things. You know, we tried to tuck them in where we could when we were looking at the trail.
There's the other one at Coventry.
Oh. I can tell you, but it's along the trail route.
Yep.
It comes out and hits a road, and it's, it's not big.
Distance between?
I don't. No, I'd have to go back and look, but it's probably, again, like a 5 or 7 car.
Yeah.
These aren't giant parking lots. They're just enough to house a few cars so people can drive there and do some hiking.
So you're looking for a motion?
Yeah, with regard to the letter, yes. The motion,
I make a motion that the Patrice finalize the letter and forward it over to appropriate people.
Jim Cropley, I second that.
Is there any further discussion?
Nope, not for me.
I'll call the roll. Rodney?
Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Tom?
Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
Jeremy?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. It was Jeff and Jim. And we will move on to the 824 referral.
Yeah, and that, like I said, does looking at the plan of conservation development, there are things in there that I think support an A24 referral, positive referral back to the first one. Any other questions? Jim had a letter in the packet dated February 3rd. The site's owned by the town of Bolton. It's going to be the subject of some improvements in the future. The lot formerly had a single family home on it. It was taken down many years ago. The intention is to utilize the existing curb cut with the permission of Comanche DOT to make a parking area for the trailhead. It's going to be gravel with the exception of the apron, because the state will require the apron to be paved. The driveway is proposed to lead to a gravel parking area for approximately 10 cars. Be outlined with large stones and felled trees using natural materials from the site to the extent possible. We expect maybe some limited signage identifying the location, and that it would be closed at sunset.
Would it have to be maintained from a snow purpose?
I don't think you'd do that.
No.
Any of them. No.
Okay.
Okay, I make a motion that in accordance with Section 8-24 Municipal Improvements of the Connecticut General Statutes, the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission has reviewed the request by the town administrator on behalf of the Board of Selectmen for improvements to 130 Hop River Road to make a parking area for a trailhead for the Nathan Hale Greenway. The project is consistent with the Plan of Conservation and Development, and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends acceptance of the same to the Board of Selectmen.
Jim Cropley, I second it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. Rodney?
Aye.
Arlene?
Aye.
Tom?
Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
Jeremy?
Aye.
Jeff?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. And second to the last item of business is a request to schedule a presentation on desegregate Connecticut's work live ride at a future meeting. And I would suggest she is on the call. Oh, Sarah, if you would like to speak to this item.
Hey there. Yeah, my name is Sarah Truax. I'm the organizing intern from Desegregate CT. We're a organization that is looking to use land use policy to help with the social and racial implications of redlining, as well as social justice issues resolving around that. And then also looking to help to do our part to help with the affordable housing crisis through all types of housing. So this is a presentation on a bill we're currently working on. It's in the planning and development office, or it's raised in the P&D office actually right now. We're waiting on a bill number any day now in a public hearing. But this is a request to present this act via like a slide deck at an upcoming Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Okay, is this would the April meeting be appropriate, or would you like it sooner than that?
We're going to every municipality in Connecticut. So far we have, I think we're at 38 right now scheduled. So we're hoping to do it sooner rather than later, but whatever you have available, we're happy to present at any time.
The reason I'm asking this question is that our March agenda is looking pretty full.
Absolutely, we understand, yeah. So April would be great then. And just for planning purposes, would a presentation in this virtual format be okay?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Because we are hybrid.
Fully virtual, gotcha.
April 12th.
Okay, great. And then we also have a slide deck that I can share with the contact that I have been in touch with so far.
Is that Patrice Carson?
Yes, perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Sarah, send it along if you'd like. I can send it out ahead of time to the commission. Would you like that? Or?
Yeah, that would be great. I can, how far ahead of time do you publish the agendas? Or I can send it out as far out as probably a month, or I can send it out a week before.
A week before is fine. If you sent it April 3rd.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. And then we also have a website devoted to our Work Live Ride Act that I can either put in the chat here, or I can send that to the email as well.
Yeah, to the email.
Okay, great. I'm sorry, what was that?
How long is the presentation?
The presentation itself takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and then with time for Q&A afterwards. So depending on how many people turn out, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
And now it's Jim Cropley.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the meeting is adjourned at 9:05. Not too bad.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night.